Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jive Daya Kori
Swapashada Siya Dhamma Dulabha Prema Kori Baridan
Adhyanta Dulabha Prema Kori Baridan
Shikhaya Shara
Kandiya, Kandiya, Bole. This is the introductory song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for a whole series of songs that he entitled Sharanagati. Sharana means surrender and agati is going towards. So in the song that the 61 or 62 songs that make up Sharanagati is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's teaching in the medium of song, how to, the stages of surrender, how to come to the position of surrender to Krishna. Just some appreciation of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One of his many, many contributions to our Vaishnava lineage was establishing Namahata program. Namahata literally means the marketplace of the holy name. He engaged Lord Nityananda in particularly in Bengal for establishing widespread the chanting of Krishna's holy name, the Yuga Dharma, on Lord Chaitanya's behalf. At least, you know, the Leela was that having taken sannyas, wanting to go to Vrindavan, Mother Sachi requested, please don't go to Vrindavan. I may never hear of you, but if you go to Puri, then the devotees from Bengal, when they go to Puri for Rath Yatra every year, I'll get news of you when they come back. Like that, he went to Puri. And then one year, the devotees that came from Bengal, Lord Nityananda was with them. Lord Chaitanya requested him, return with some of my associates and fulfill my purpose of appearing in this world, which was to give the holy name to everyone. You do this on my behalf, I'll be very, very happy. So he did that, and he was very happy. So in this Namahata work of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the audience, a substantial portion of the audience was agriculture people, during Bhaktivinoda Thakur's time, they were not educated. They weren't literate. Oh, it's Bengali's concern. So he taught the message of Lord Chaitanya through songs. And then they learned the words to the songs, and they learned the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya while singing nice songs. Very, very wonderful. And through these songs, Sharanagati songs, he taught a very important lesson of Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, because Krishna taught to surrender to Krishna. 1866 Bhagavad Gita. We're going to read a little bit. Baladev Vidyabhusan's commentary. Sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Sharanam, surrender. Oh, so this is Sharanagati, going to the position of surrender. So Lord Chaitanya also taught surrender to Krishna. And then Rupa Goswami, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in specifically the process of bhakti. That's what Rupa Goswami wrote about. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu, the ocean of the nectar of devotion. And this verse that's on the board or on the screen here, is it possible it could be not tilted? Can you move the screen so it's square instead of you're on a boat and it's about to fall off the boat? Keep going. Keep going. A little more. Whoa, very good. Okay. Anyway. This is a verse from Padma Purana, which appears in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada describes in Nectar Devotion, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches it to Rupa Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But this is a verse from Padma Purana, and it gives the six angas of surrender, as we heard in the song. So, anakulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, that's the first two, accept things that are favorable. Sankalpa, we know this word from our japa retreats, sankalpa. Accept things that are favorable for bhakti. Pratikulyasya varjanam, reject things that are unfavorable for bhakti. With the injunction comes the prohibition. And then rakshishatiti vishvaso, this is to see one's protector as the Supreme Lord. We know that there's four primary animal propensities: eating, sleeping, mating, and seeking protection. And of the four, eating, sleeping, mating, they're subordinate to this one. If someone is eating, sleeping, or mating and there's some danger, they'll stop those things and give protection. It's the strongest of the animal propensities. And to elevate that propensity to the realm of surrender to Krishna, he is my protector. Rakshishatiti vishvaso, goptritve varanam tata. Goptritve varanam has to do with maintenance, something that all living entities do. Humans do. Birds do. I was really happy this morning to see the groundhogs are still there. Just outside the Institute House. It's kind of up on the top of a hill, and there's a little slope that goes down. But just before the slope goes down, there's kind of a bulge. That's because that's where the groundhog live. They dug holes. And I don't know what happened. They must, you know, Mama Groundhog and Papa Groundhog had some little babies several years ago. They must have grown up and went to school and got a job and moved out of the house and got married. But there's, you know, maybe it's another litter or something. Anyway. And the first thing is protection. They look around, kind of stand up on their hind legs and look around. Little. And then what's the next thing? Eat. But you make a little sound and they look around and go back down the hole again. They stop eating if protection comes. So these two, maintenance and protection. And then Atma, Nikshepa. Atma, Nikshepa is full self-surrender. Sometimes another Sanskrit term is there, Atma, Nivedana. Atma, Nikshepa, same meaning. Body, mind, and words, fully engaged, fully in the service of the Supreme Lord, nothing held back, full surrender, full submission. And then Karpanye, you can see at the bottom, Karpanye, Karpanya means humility. So the topic to speak about this morning is the connection between faith and humility. They're very clearly connected. And because our topic overall, some of you are joining us, you weren't with us yesterday evening. The theme of our weekend is the role of faith in the unfolding of bhakti. And I discussed a section from Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha, where there's a whole anuchet that just on that topic. The whole chapter, just on that topic. The role of faith under bhakti. The role of faith in bhakti. And, you know, distilling one hour's presentation into 30 seconds, he was saying that bhakti has, the force of bhakti is faith. Now the faith in what? Faith in Bhagavan, faith in God, and faith in the process of connecting with Him. That's service unto God. And faith, he was saying, writing, is that which delivers the results of bhakti. It's like, you know, it's the power within bhakti, and all, it doesn't have its separate division. There's 9 categories or angas of bhakti: hearing, chanting, remembering, and so forth. 9 and it doesn't have its, this isn't a standalone item because it's within all the different angas of bhakti. We don't do any one of them without faith. We don't do deity worship, we don't hear and chant, we don't remember, we don't offer prayers, we don't dedicate ourselves in service and friendship and full self-surrender. We don't do those things without faith. It's intrinsic and essential within all the manifestations of bhakti. It delivers the result. It delivers everything. The eradication of miseries, it delivers the position of auspiciousness within our life and everything. So bhakti is essential. Then this topic is, what's the relationship between faith is essential. What's the relationship between humility and faith? So, taking these terms, the the teachings of surrender given by Rupa Goswami as he heard it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm going to just read one paragraph from another writing of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and very elevated literature in many ways. But it's Jiva Dharma. Maybe you've heard that title. Jiva, the Dharma of the living entity. Jiva Dharma. What is the living entity to do? What is our duty? So in that Jiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur retells Rupa Goswami's teachings. Chapter by chapter. Instruction and Nectar Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So in that Jiva Dharma, he discusses this, which is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So I'm just going to read. And he specifically selected the section where he speaks about humility. That line at the very bottom, Karpanye. Karpanya means humility. So here's the translation of that section from Jiva Dharma. The bhakta, that's us, or at least trying to be, the bhakta must develop the sense of karpanye, humility, which makes him feel poverty-stricken. It connects with the goptritve varanam. Krishna is my maintainer. The materialist doesn't think like that. I'm going to maintain myself. I'll go to church or synagogue or the temple on Sunday or Saturday or whatever their religion is. It's secular. Means there's this part of my life is for God and this part of my life is, you know, my life. That's the secular notion. America is a secular country, separation of church and state. There's God over here and there's the government over there. We don't mix the two. Bhakti is not secular. Bhakti is for my maintenance. I'm dependent. I work. I'm not, you know, just collecting Social Security or SSI. I'm working. But it's not my work that's maintaining me. It's Krishna that's maintaining me. Yes? I mean, at least that's our philosophy, isn't it? One person works really, really hard and they're poor. One person hardly works at all and they're very rich. And, you know, stuff in between. So who's maintaining? The man that works hard? Who has very little? You get the idea. So in the mood of humility, one is thinking, I'm dependent upon the master to maintain me. I'm the servant. He's the master. He's maintaining me. I'm serving him. He will maintain me. I have all confidence. I have faith. And based on that faith, I'm serving him. Because he's a good master. He'll maintain me. That other fellow, he may fire me. I don't have a job. Then I can't maintain myself. Or something. Oh. The bhakta must develop the sense of karpanye, humility, which makes him feel poverty-stricken, meek, and lowly. The mood of humility is understood as karpanya or dainya. Dainya is another term. It means the same thing. Dainya, humility. Thus means in that mood of humility, the state of consciousness that is evoked when you're feeling humility, when the heart becomes infused with determination, subservience, trust, dependence, self-surrender, and humility is designated as Shraddha. There's the connection. Before there is Shraddha, or faith, which we discussed yesterday evening, is essential. It's the right position for someone to receive the message of Krishna, remember from yesterday, not too much attached to material, not disgusted with material, open. Without humility, when the message of bhakti comes, is someone going to go, yes? Yes. They'll say no. They'll either say, I'm too busy. Anybody that's distributed books knows that one. Too busy. Don't have time. They may say something a little nasty. They may say, get a job. And other things. Then the person that's disgusted, their attraction for impersonalism is too strong. And they hear something of God as a person and surrender to God as a person, yuck. No, thank you. So faith is essential. That's the message. And humility makes faith awaken, or it makes it possible for it to awaken in the association of the faithful. Without humility, it's tough going. Whosoever attains this Shraddha becomes a fit candidate to execute bhakti. That was yesterday evening's topic. And for the sadhaka, the devotional aspirant, this Shraddha is the initial step towards the perfection displayed by the eternally liberated pure jiva souls. Ages of bhakti, Shraddha comes first, number one. So we're hearing, just to make it clear, faith precedes that Shraddha. Just to make the point, to reemphasize the same point from yesterday. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes faith as having a conviction, an aspiration for self-realization. I want to go beyond the material dimension of life and understand my higher nature, understand the true self beyond, the designations of the body and the mind. And we know from our teachings what upadis, at least how we use it. Sarva upadi ganir muktam tat paratvena nirvalam. Nice verse from Narada Pancharatra, where Narada Muni is describing bhakti as where one becomes freed from upadis. Sarva upadi vinir muktam. Free from the designations of covering, then I have one has the opportunity to go towards the true self that's beyond any designation of the coverings. So that's preliminary faith. Then with sadhu sangha, association with devotees, one hears about Krishna as the real purpose of life. The nature of the self is not just your spirit soul, but we have an eternal relationship with the supreme spirit soul, and that supreme spirit soul is a loving one. That's when that awakens, where there is some initial confidence or trust. But if there's no humility, someone's brash and proud and swaggering around here and there, they don't need something higher. They just need something more. More power, more control, more proprietorship, more. And get rid of other people because they're in my way of getting more. Exactly what the Divine and Demoniac chapter describes. So humility is necessary. Then faith, and then the one through faith and the association of devotees, we take up devotional practices and so on. Bhajana Kriya. That's what he's presenting here in Jaiva Dharma. Since Shraddha is the fundamental nuance of the Jiva's Nitya Swabhava, there we go with vocabulary words. What's that? Nitya means eternal, and Swabhava means nature. Swabhava. We know from chapter 18, Brahma karma swabhavajam, Chatra karma swabhavajam, Vaishya karma swabhavajam, Shudra karma swabhavajam. That's within the modes of nature, swabhava. Your nature, your psychophysical nature, influenced by the modes. But then there's a natural inclination of the soul that's not influenced by the modes. Isn't that nice? And that swabhava of the soul is to serve Krishna. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying is this tendency or inclination to serve Krishna. By my existence, Krishna should be pleased. So whether it's my body, my mind, or my words, Krishna should be pleased. And then there's obstacles like my own contaminations of heart. So I have to remove those contaminations of heart in order to please Krishna and think of just pleasing Krishna instead of the other stuff that's not so pleasing to Krishna stuff. So what's pleasing to Krishna? Let me cultivate that. So then he says, he uses, I like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he makes things so clear. As long as you get his vocabulary down, it's really easy to understand what he's saying. So he said, at the other five of these, they flow from that one. Humility. In that mood of humility, the desire to serve Krishna. And once I have that desire to serve Krishna, then all these other things come. They're, he uses the word naimittika. They're occasional. They're worldly. They're secondary behind the primary. So what's the primary? Once again, faith. That if I just serve Krishna, if I just somehow become qualified to serve Krishna pleasingly, everything else will follow. We discussed it yesterday evening also. That's what faith means. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what's that? Once again, by achieving one thing, all other desirable things are fulfilled. Specifically, yesterday evening, we're discussing about jnana and karma. The fruits of jnana is detachment. The fruits of karma is what I need to be happy. I just serve Krishna. And detachment and what I need to be happy is taken care of. I mean, it's like a child, really simple comparison. A child is taken care of by loving parents. Really simple. The child doesn't need to go, you know, it's meal time, mommy. Can I have some dinner? Mommy's got dinner ready. The child doesn't need to go ask for that. We don't need to ask for those things that are requirements. Krishna will look out for that. And I can elaborate, but it's one of the prayers in the Bhagavatam that's a favorite A part of Gajendra's prayer is, although he was cursed, he was a king who was cursed to become an elephant, he became an elephant. He was enjoying being the king of elephants, because he was a king after all. And so many other elephants were following him around, and they went bathing in a river or lake, and a crocodile grabbed him. I was just in Florida, like, crocodiles are a big thing in Florida. You know, they billboards all over the place. We got a 16-foot crocodile. Come check it out. We got an 18-foot crocodile. Anyway, big deal. So the crocodile was chomping on his leg. Couldn't get the crocodile free. Fought with the crocodile for 100 years. That's a long fight. Fighting. And then he realized it's over. I have only one place of shelter from his previous life. He remembered taking shelter. So he offered the prayers of his previous life. And it was spontaneous. It's described. Super soul from within his heart gave him that remembrance. Super soul can also give forgetfulness. No problem. You want to enjoy separately from Krishna? Well, the only way to do that is forgetfulness. Yeah, give me some forgetfulness. Big dose, please, because I want to enjoy separately. Okay. But he can also give remembrance. So he gave him remembrance. And he started offering these wonderful, 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 wonderful prayers. And he got into it so much that he then realized, right in the midst of the prayers, I don't even have to ask, please get this crocodile off my leg. He'll take care of that. He's my protector. Rakshatiti Vishvaso. He's my protector. So what I should really be praying from is, after you get the crocodile off my leg, please keep me always engaged in your devotional service. He went to that level. And that's what happened. The Lord Vishnu appeared, chopped off the chomping part of the crocodile, separated his head from the rest of his body, and then the Gandharva, who had been cursed to become a crocodile, came out. That was over. And then Gajendra, arrangement was made that he went back to Godhead. So actually the curse of the sage, the curse of the king in Dradumna, it was a shortcut so he could go back to Godhead. Although really looked bad, he became an elephant, and an elephant with a crocodile on his leg. He was sent back to Godhead, because Krishna is the protector of those who have faith in him. And who's going to have faith in him if you're an atheist or you have humility? It's not going to happen. Yeah, just wonder a couple more things. Yeah. So many things. I'd like to read on this principle of surrender. Of course, it's the concluding instruction of Krishna, mentioned already. Sarvadharmam parityaja, mamekam sharanam vraja. Surrender unto me, abandon all varieties of everything else I've taught you. Dharma. Not abandon them in the sense of trash them, but, you know, they're subordinate to this one. This is the pinnacle. So, in Baladeva Vidyabhusan's commentary, it connects to the topic, this principle of surrender. Baladeva Vidyabhusan, who's Baladeva Vidyabhusan? He's in our disciplic line, one of the foremost commentators of Bhagavad Gita and so many other writings. He made his commentary on Vedanta Sutra for our Sampradaya. the essence of Lord Chaitanya's teachings to explain Vedanta Sutra under the guidance of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So it wasn't so long ago that Baladeva was around and writing transcendental literatures and teaching transcendental knowledge and living a life of pure devotion in Vrindavan. So in his commentary, quotes Jiva Goswami and Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha once again in his purport. Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha 236 that Goptritve Varanam, there it is, Goptritve Varanam, the Lord is my protector. Therefore I surrender to Him. You're not going to surrender Him if you think, well, He'll take care of my meal, He'll maintain me, but if I'm in trouble, you know, He's got a sign on the door that says out to lunch. He's going to protect me. He's my protector. Jiva Goswami explains that Goptritve Varanam, or accepting the Lord as master, because masters protect their dependents or their servants, is the very definition of surrender, which is 1866, surrender unto me, and therefore is the main item. You'll see how this connects with humility, because that's our subject. Bhakti and humility and faith. So he's my master. I trust him. He's a qualified master. He will protect me. He has the power to protect me, and he will protect me. All other five items, those five, are its assistants. Atma Nikshepa, which is at the bottom, verse 6, to have no independence from the Lord. Quote, whatever he orders, I do. It's similar to what masters and servants, like Prahlad Maharaj says to Lord Nrsingadeva. There's only one thing between us. You're the master, I'm the servant, and there's nothing else. There's nothing else. And as the master, you protect me. That's you're going to protect me. As the master, I need some maintenance. You're going to maintain me. You're my dearmost friend. You're everything. There's only one thing. You're the master and the servant. Karpanya, in the last line, Karpanya means complete humility. Quote, no one is more merciful than you, and no one is more fallen than me. Please protect me. Please engage me in your service. Please be merciful upon me. Of course, he'll protect, he'll engage, and he'll be merciful, but just the servant appeals to the master or sees the master in that way with love and affection. Not like, don't forget to maintain me, don't forget to be kind upon me, and don't forget I need some maintenance also. He's busy, I have to remind him every now and then. Not like that. It's acknowledging. He goes on. This is still Baladeva's commentary on 1866 Bhagavad Gita. Karpanya is feeling hopeless and incapable. And have you ever felt like that? there's some good news. As you advance in Krishna consciousness, you'll feel it more strongly. Not like when you advance in Krishna consciousness. Da 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 da. Not like that. You feel more dependent, incapable. I wrote like that to one devotee. They said, oh, you shouldn't say like that. Okay, I won't say like that, but that's the feeling. You feel incapable. So when you feel incapable, that's humility. What do? Krishna! Yeah? That's what you do. Not become lazy, but depend upon Krishna. And therefore, with humility, surrendering to the Lord. It's a humility. Baladeva's teaching. Humility is necessary for surrender. It's there in Lord Chaitanya's teachings. It's there in Padma Purana. And then, when you surrender to Krishna, what do? Engage in his service. You don't just come with your hand out, or your little requisition slip, or a big requisition slip. Then you got a big warehouse there. Here's my list. That's not what bhakti is. Bhakti is you come with service. And with faith that necessities will be there. Everything will be there. I just put the requisition slip in the trash can. I just need to be engaged in your service. Now, in case somebody has a particular concern, supposing a concern for Jai Pathaka Maharaj, who's right now in the hospital with a liver problem. So we offer prayers to Krishna for his well-being. Or something like that. That a devotee, Krishna, please help this devotee meet the struggle that they're facing. Please give them the strength. Please give them the intelligence. Please give them the courage to go forward and meet that challenge that's confronting them. We can offer prayers like that. We can even offer prayers on behalf of ourselves or behalf of the community of devotees or something like that. Because it's okay. The child can say, Mommy, can I have another bowl of dal or something? That's okay. It's okay. But there's humility. And these items, and when Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'll just end with this. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after this introductory song that Sri Rupa so beautifully sang, there's the first section of the six items of surrender, and which one does he put first? Dainya. Humility. Because in this list, it's number six, but he puts it number one. Because without humility, who's going to surrender? And that's what happens. It's like a long section of prayers of humility. And just after the humility, I accept everything favorable and reject everything unfavorable. That's the next two. I engage in service, selecting that which is favorable and rejecting things unfavorable. It's kind of like the stage of devotional service. Those of you that know the nine stages, the first, the Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, faith, association of devotees, devotional practice, then it's the next one, Anarjana Vritti. That's number two on that list. Pratikulya Shivarjan. I'm rejecting things unfavorable for devotional service. Well, that gets to be a struggle sometimes when you're attached. So what do? We discussed it last night. What do? Remember from last night? Nice prayer from Krishna's teaching to Uddhava. With faith, you go on serving. recognizing these attachments are stumbling blocks. But I'm attached to my stumbling blocks. I'm attached to sources of misery. And I know it's misery. I know what's going to bring, but I'm attached. But higher than that is this faith that what's simply going on serving Krishna, that can be addressed. Alone, struggle, struggle, struggle. Daibhiyeshu gunamayi mamamaya doratyaya. Struggle. It's the nature of the place. How can I get to the place where there's no longer a struggle? By surrender to Krishna, by serving Krishna. That struggle, I can easily cross beyond it. I have faith. So I'll go on. I go on. Right? But not mechanically go on. Go on aspiring for this one thing. What's the one thing? Krishna should be pleased. How do I know how Krishna should be pleased? Through the teachings of our acharyas. And Krishna also indicates directly in Bhagavad Gita what pleases him. Very nice section in chapter 12. This is very pleasing to me. It gives us more than a hint. It gives us direct, this is what's pleasing to him. So we cultivate that which is pleasing to Krishna. Not just I'll get 5 gold stars after my name and I'll get some applause and a little diploma. Not the fruitive kind, but the devotional kind. That's, from the heart, just for the purpose of satisfying, pleasing Krishna. So who's going to do that if there isn't humility? So that's now conclusion. The connection of humility and faith is they're intimately connected. They manifest themselves in the form of devotional service. And if we slacken, doesn't it happen? If supposing somebody is doing very well, and so in doing very well in devotional service, the impetus for devotional service that was there before, of 4 kinds, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, economic betterment, relief of distress, satisfying their curiosity, search for knowledge, those 4 things are taken care of, someone may become complacent. Their submission slackens. Humility slackens too. And the other corollary features, the good qualities of a devotee, kind of slip. It could go the other way. One becomes proud. Look at me. And then, bhakti becomes covered or diminished. So we don't want that. We want, humility must continue. And in fact, those that become very advanced in spiritual life, we know this from our teachings and the example of most elevated devotees. Their humility is so something like, it's very instructive. Humility and faith go well together. In visiting Jagannath Puri, just this is some sharing. The first time I was with a group of devotees, we're visiting in Jagannath Puri. I spent one of the most wonderful times in my life. I spent about 2.5 weeks living in solitude. That was really nice. And just reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya specifically in Puri. And then going to the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and sharing these pastimes with the devotees. When the whole thing was over, it was almost a full month, three and a half weeks of immersion in Lord Chaitanya and his associates in Jagannath Puri. The profound impression that I walked away with, that's still with me, so I'm sharing it with you. The intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two main features of their lives was profound humility, without all the examples, and unbridled enthusiasm for pleasing Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, certainly, and all of his associates. And in one sense, it sounds like stop and go. But it's not. Profound humility doesn't mean stop. It's the ground for surrender to Krishna, eagerness to achieve Krishna, unlimited eagerness to achieve Krishna, and abject humility. There's no obstacle. There's no material ego in the lives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. There's only one thing. Their love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because of their love, or in connection with their love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their love for Krishna. And nothing else. They have their all different types of personalities, variety, like anything. So much variety. But unity. We've all heard this. Unity and diversity. Humility and eagerness to be in one's relationship with Krishna. They're perfect companions. They're totally transcendental. They help bring one to that transcendental position. It elevates your devotion, one's devotion, by feelings of humility, feelings of inadequacy, feelings of needing the mercy of Krishna so much. This Krishna connection is stronger. And you know, the mechanical and the, put it nicely, mixed devotional service, motivated devotional service, it's just, it becomes cleansed. Without humility, it won't. So humility and faith are perfect companions. So, and see, whoa, look at the time. Let's see if there's any comments or questions. Yes? Right here. Oh, go ahead. Whatever you want to do. We're trying to understand, yeah?
Try to, for myself, to try and understand the difference or the connection with seeing or the faith within an institutional framework within which I receive Krishna's mercy and I'm serving versus a direct relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
And what is the role of that institution as an agent of that mercy? What is the role of that institution also in my feeling that protection from Krishna as that loving parent?
Are you using the word institution? Did I hear correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Can we use a different word?
Sure.
It's community of devotees?
Okay.
Sangha of devotees? Community, Sangha of devotees? Because there is an institution, but institution has kind of like negative connotations to the max. There is an institution. There is a structure, a governance, an organization. But more, you know, it's something like there's a mother and there's a father and there's children. So there's the institution of a family. There's a structure and there's the system of, you know, respecting mother and respecting father and the duties of father and the duties of mother and the behaviors of everybody together. And there, you know, and there are some families that are, I just attended a wedding. Sannyasi attended a wedding. And it was really well attended. There were five sannyasis there attending this wedding. And it was the marriage of Shesha and his wife's daughter, and then another Yashin Pallavi Malhotra's son. And there was glorification after glorification after glorification of, you know, the parents. And so, you know, because the parents are so wonderful, the children in turn have become so wonderful, and now they have wonderful role models to look to, so they can be more likely successful in, you know, in blessings and so many nice instructions in how to be successful. Now, is that young couple going to have no problems? Is any marriage going to have no bumps in the road? Is any, as with family, although they have like these ideal, really, really wonderful ideal role models as parents, they'll still have some bumps in the road. And now expand that model out to, you know, the institution or the broader sangha of devotees. And as with some families are, you know, the relationships within the family are better. And some of the relationships within the family are not as good. And then there's the community of families that are not so good. Some this kind of faith, some this kind of obstacle. You know, it gets quite an assortment. Our dependence, your dependence on advancing in Krishna consciousness is based upon your enthusiasm and conviction that if I simply act to please Krishna, Krishna will help me make advancement in Krishna consciousness, and surely he'll give me opportunities, surely he'll give me obstacles. Maybe one of those obstacles being, you know, the institution or the association of others that's, you know, I'm not so comfortable with. It's not so wholesome. It's, you know, yikes. So that's an opportunity for service. Or if I feel I don't have the capacity, let me, you know, offer my prayers because I'm not in a position to do something in relation to all of that, but let me be an example. It's something like our children that go to school. What are they supposed to do? Be an example. You know, okay, that can be the example in school, but what about, you know, amongst the community of devotees? So the choices that we all make, and the nourishment primarily is, as we heard yesterday evening, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, matkatasu, faith in the topics about me, and then, you know, the nice long list. That's where my faith goes. And obstacles can be overcome through the strength of that. And I can perform flowing from that hearing and chanting and the faith in Krishna. So each of us have a capacity. Prabhupada had his capacity. He came to the Western countries and went, yikes. And you may look around and say, the institution, yikes. what am I to do? I'm this little person. And so the advancement is not dependent upon it, you know, how the degree to which those around me are, that are part of the institution are as Krishna conscious as I would really want close association to be Krishna conscious. Your close association must be Krishna conscious. Those who you're receiving Krishna katha from are mat katha su. And where your faith is reposed primarily, that's essential. And then according to the purification and empowerment received, then you can render service. Each one of us. That's what I do. And I have discussions, you know, with different persons in different positions who look at the institution and go, yikes. You know, depending upon the person and the relationship with those persons, different kind of discussion. Anyway, I'm responding in, you know, this is what I do. This is where I repose my faith, and I invite you to do the same. It, you know, make me a phrase that I like is one of the best ways to displace dysfunctionality is functionality. Just propagate functionality. I hate to borrow, well, anyway. There's your area of influence and your area of concern. You know that terminology. So focus on your area of influence. This is what I can do. I may be concerned about that, but if this is together, that can positively impact that. I just worry about that. It's like, I'll spin out. I'll be crushed. So let me just do this. In the bigger picture, that's what the Bhagavatam is. It's Vyas looking at Kali Yuga going, yikes. So let me provide the means for the victims of Kali Yuga to have shelter in Krishna. Let me propagate that. Doesn't mean Kali Yuga is going to stop. It's still going to be Kali Yuga. The storm's going to happen. But let me equip those sincere souls with the means to overcome it and influence it positively. That's your area of influence. Work on that. And that will have its, your capacity will increase and, you know, it's, and so on and so on. Instead of being crushed by the yikes, it's influencing that by the mercy of Krishna, not by my mightiness, but by the mercy of Krishna, doing what Krishna is pleased by. And that makes the situation, to whatever degree, a little person like me can make the situation better. Krishna helps. I don't know what else to do myself. I'm just being honest. And then you get asked to do something more than what you're doing, and you go, wait a minute. I'm quite incompetent. So don't ask me to do more. Let me work on becoming competent. Anyway. You're next. Yes, right? No, right here. No, right there. Go ahead, quickly.
Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Swami, you were saying before that a devotee with the right mood, he may pray to the Lord, you're so merciful, please engage me in your service, you're my guardian protector. And then you said, and one could say the same things, but with the wrong mood, like, which would be, don't forget, you're my guardian. Don't forget you're supposed to engage me in service. Don't forget I'm surrendering. So my question is, I was wondering if you could, I don't mean this challenging in any way, but I was wondering if you could just help me understand the mood of this one verse in the Sri Isha Upanishad where the prayer is, Oh Lord, I think it's something like, Oh Lord, please remember how I've done this for you and I've done this for you my whole life, something like that.
Yes, that's there. a short reply. Akama sarvakamava mokshakama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham tivrena bhakti yogena. There's the answer. Supposing somebody has that spirit, supposing the person who speaks that verse in Isha Upanishad has that spirit, speak it enthusiastically. Tivra bhakti. Supposing a child, even they know their mother is going to look out for their needs. I see it. It just was happening on the flight from Orlando to come to, to attend this gathering here in Gitanagari. Two little kids. One little boy was just as peaceful as can be. The little girl was as animated as can be. And the parents were just as calm about the whole thing. It was like really cool. So the one that was peaceful, they were looking after the one that was peaceful's needs. The one that was animated, they were looking after the one. And they were just, different personalities. The same parents. They weren't partial to one and, Tivra bhakti. But love, a symptom of love is simply saying, mommy, daddy, is there something I can do for you? They're going to go, what? Be satisfied with our love for you. Oh. How do I do that? Something else. In the back. Two hands in the back. All the way in the back.
Hare Krishna. I'll try to articulate my question clearly, though it's not very clear in my mind how to present it. So our life is meant for the process of surrendering, like Sharanagati. And having faith that Krishna's protection and Krishna will provide everything that is required for us. And you apply, you going down the path. And somehow experience shows something different. And you're not able to see Krishna's protection.
Yeah.
And the whatever arrangements he has made in your life is the best for you, for your Krishna consciousness. At that point, if one wants to take a pause and say, wait a minute, I need to process this and integrate this and want to do something different. And it may come across as not going according to the instruction that's been given to you. But it's self-honesty, because this is where I am. Does that self-honesty or being in or taking shelter of that self-honesty, that this is my capacity or this is what I can do, does that mean that it's not pleasing to Krishna because you've been instructed something else, but you're desiring or being honest that I don't have confidence that I can apply myself? I need some time.
Well, confidence to blindly, everything was fine up until that part.
Confidence is there in Krishna.
Okay, but confidence to blindly serve, please. That adverb is the red flag. But leave that blindly serve and just, you know, serve, as I think is being expected of me. Understand? It's the way that I'm being expected, and I'd like to pause on that for a moment and explore going about serving in a different way. That's what you mean? Well, a short answer, again, is the main consideration, I would think, is the strength of faith in Krishna. Instead of, in other words, Krishna, if I'm going to go down this other path, my purpose in doing so is to make my connection with Krishna stronger. And I'm not sure I've got the answer, but I know what I want, which is to make the connection with Krishna stronger. It may be so many things. It may be this is just an exhibition of something other than making my connection with Krishna stronger. I may be tricked. It may, in fact, make my connection. So I'm ready to take signals from Krishna because that's what I really want. Not just, you know, I'm going to go down another path. I'll go back. You know, take it out of the context of your particular question. Maybe 20 years ago, I wrote a little essay because it would come up for devotees in making decisions. And, you know, I remember in high school, Robert Frost's poem, Two Roads Diverged in a Yellow Wood and Sorry I Could Not Travel Both. You know, that juncture, there's go left or go right. You're walking along one path and then suddenly there's two options, left or right, and which one should I go on? Now, an added feature of what you're expressing is it seems to me that the indication is go right, but I'm not sure going right is best. Maybe it's going left is best. But the spirit is, so my message to you in response to your question is, look inside and see, where's this coming from? Is the purpose to make the connection with Krishna stronger, using the same language? And I'm not sure. But I know, one thing I'm sure about is I want the connection with Krishna to be as maximum strong as possible. So at a certain point I have to, at least it seems, I have to go left or right. I can't just stay in one place, scratching my head. So if I decide to go left instead of right, I'm ready for Krishna's indication that says the connection with me is stronger in this other way. I'm ready to go the other way. I'm not going to continue to be stubborn and, you know, I made a decision, it's too late now. Because the operative principle is making the connection with Krishna stronger. That there's other factors, you know, relationships, and without elaborating, you know, there's other factors that will help me monitor, is Krishna connection becoming stronger? It may be my ego, it may be so many things. Maybe a test, it may be so many things. Ultimately, Krishna will guide. I have that faith. He'll take me to him. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyantite. how to get to him.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah, right to your other side.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. You were giving the example of how a mother would already keep the dinner ready for the child, and the child doesn't have to really ask for it, you know, in terms of our asking from Krishna. I was thinking, like, what if the child, or most of the time the child does not want the dinner that's been made? Or thinks that there's a...
They want to play.
No, they may want something else to eat. And
they may want what?
Something else.
Oh, instead of what was prepared for them.
And that other choice may be equally good and makes the child happier. So...
Well, to make the child happier...
So the question is, like, as we, as devotees, we make choices, you know, whether to work or not work, or what kind of work, or what kind of lifestyle changes to do our services. So is those choices, is it to, like, is my finding my voice or finding my choice is to see what Krishna have arranged for me, or what is Krishna's best arrangement for me, or is it, it could be different, or do I have a say in it?
Well, you definitely have a say in it. But on the other hand, you know, keep it simple. They have another word that comes after, keep it simple. One can get lost in the, you know, the network of possibilities. Vyudha Vikalpa. You know that one? Endless speculation. So, this can be pleasing to Krishna, that can be just like the child. Tomorrow I'll prepare that other meal. Today you take this meal, okay? Because it's already prepared. And that's, you know, mom for the child. And then there's Krishna, who knows, so, you know, the circumstances of life are presented. And then, you know, we can ask the question, what is it that Krishna would wish me to understand from this? Devotees ask that question. They may not get a clear answer. But to ask the question is a good thing. And, you know, I'm cautioning the endless possible speculations of what's, you know, going to be best for me. Whew. I'm exhausted just thinking about the endless possibilities. And so at least one option is that which is from the, you know, from the experience that I had and the instructions that I received and the readings in scripture and the examples of our acharyas and great devotees, this is an option that makes sense. Let me go. And observe. And then, if it's something that I need to learn that I haven't learned, it's going to happen again and again and again and again until I learn what Krishna wants of me. So many reruns. Different, but reruns. So I guess I didn't learn what Krishna wants. So what does Krishna want? We may adjust, calibrate a little bit, but keep it simple at the same time. Yes, you do have some say. It is a relationship with Krishna. Relationship means you have say in the relationship. And Krishna will listen to what you say. Krishna reciprocates. Even the gopis, they would say to Krishna, you know, stop this, do that. They have a say. Last question, because of time.
Guru Maharaj, how can one enhance his enthusiasm for engaging in Krishna conscious activities?
Well, for you, more kirtan.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
But associating with those that are enthusiastic and, you know, cleansing the heart, making it a very purposeful exercise in all that you do with your family and with your work and with the devotees, being eager for a purified heart when entering into those activities, and that increases enthusiasm. When the heart is cleansed, enthusiasm is naturally there. It's a mode of goodness aspiration. Engage in service so that one can become pure. Do some helping. So focus like that, enthusiasm will be there. And you know, hear about, if associate with those devotees who are enthusiastic and hear about those devotees that are so eager for Krishna. You associate with those devotees by hearing about those devotees and appreciating those devotees and discussing those devotees. This is a principle that Ramanujacharya teaches, that if for developing a particular quality, find that quality in perfected souls and hear about them, remember them, describe them, honor them, offer prayers to them. Those qualities will become your qualities. Thank you very much, Prabhupada Ki.